This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And I'm going to give you a loser's mentality. I apologize. I had a loser's mentality going into the LA series to begin with, which was just win a game. That was my mentality. Mets obviously go out. They win Friday. They win Saturday. They win the series. I look at San Francisco and kind of think the same thing. And I know the Giants aren't a great team. They're a sub-500 team. But get a game. Don't let this turn into a losing streak. And get home after a 3-3 West Coast trip. Even if it started 2-0, I would take that as a success. That's the way I would view these three games against San Francisco. It's not like the pitching matchups are that devastating. Obviously, Logan Webb on Tuesday is tough. But this Keaton win against Jose Quintana, you actually feel like the Mets have the edge on. Logan Webb, Luis Severino. Logan Webb's their ace. Sevy's off to a great start. And then in the finale, Blake Snell has been just awful for the Giants. I'm going to predict to you, he is going to give you that first really good start as a Giant Wednesday afternoon, early start, last game of the West Coast trip. Write this one down. Snell's going, I was going to say six scoreless, but because it's Blake Snell, five scoreless. Got to take my shots.
Hey, you know what, though? Five scoreless still leaves you four innings to get to their bullpen. So I'll take that.
That is true. Just get a game in San Francisco. Get back here. If they get a game in San Francisco and they lose two, that would put them at 13-11 when they come home to face the St. Louis Cardinals, which is not a bad spot to be in. Now let's get to some of your emails, therico@gmail.com. I don't want to leave any of you out. Let's go to Samuel. Samuel writes, Evan and Pete, some random observations on a happy Sunday morning in Metland. So this email was sent prior to losing 10-0. I don't have to listen to the post-LA series, Rico, to know, Evan, you absolutely loved Mendoza bringing in Edwin Diaz in the eighth inning when the game was on the line and the Dodgers' better hitters were up. If this winning and his managing continues on this line, Met fans will really warm up to him if they haven't already. Look, the key is winning. Obviously, it is with me, but I also like to see moves that make sense. And for way too many years, managers have made moves that have made no sense. Second thought from Sam is, it is beyond time for Mark Vientos to be here. There's nothing else for him to prove down there. Even if Beatty's fully healthy, I don't care. Vientos can get some at-bats at third base, at DH. JD won't play every single game and be a real bat off the bench. Why Zach Short remains on this team is a baffling mystery. We do not need his 125 batting average, career 173. Also, please tell me there are some major league catching alternatives to Tomas Nido. We cannot have this guy up here for the next 2 months, Sam. I wish there was. I mean, the Mets had the option to not call up Tomas Nido. They had to add him to the 40-man roster, and any catcher that they were going to add was going to be added to the 40-man roster. So they could have called up Hayden Singer. They could have called up Kevin Parada. They could have called up any young player. Now, I get why they didn't, but I don't know if the Mets are going to be super aggressive looking for real backup catcher. What I'd like to see from Mendoza, and he'll be tested right out of the gate with this first week of no Francisco Alvarez, is how much can you push Omar Narvaez? I'd push him. Like, he's going to play, and I know he can't play every day, but let's take the San Francisco series as an example. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon. Does he have to sit one of those games? Like, is that a must? I mean, is it against the law for a catcher to play day game after night game? Let's go to the series at Citi Field against St. Louis. Night game, late day game, early day game. Like, can he play all three games? Here's what I'd like to see. The Mets have six games this week. Omar Narvaez should catch five of six, at minimum. At minimum. We don't need Tomas Nito every game in every series. With that said, I don't think they're going to go out and add a backup catcher. Here's Dan. Dan has become kind of a regular character on the Rico Bronya. Dan is the guy who I describe to everybody as an emailer who's like that guy in Major League who's a Met fan, or in that case, an Indian fan, but basically hates everything the team does. Hey, everything sucks. Everything's going to end up badly. Just watch. Just wait and see. So what would Dan say after a six-game winning streak, and yeah, a loss at the end of the series against LA? What would Dan say? Dan would say this. Well, now that the magic's over, we get to see the size of those quote-unquote balls you have been clamoring or claiming this team now has that they haven't had before. Losing Alvarez, offense completely shut down by Glass now, then getting whooped to cap off the series. This type of 24 hours could spiral a mentally weak team like they've shown to be in the past. Big response series coming up. Well, look, if they lose all three to San Francisco and it spirals, then you're right. I mean, we've seen, I think it was last year when they were playing really well, they started to kind of fix their season on the West Coast. They had one loss at the end of a series, and then it just turned into a disaster. So, yeah, sometimes one loss that doesn't feel like a bad one can spiral. I don't think they're going to spiral. But I also don't think they have to go out to San Francisco and win all three. I said it before, go win a game. So I guess I sort of agree with Dan. Just don't let it spiral. Spiraling would mean being swept of three games by San Francisco. I don't think they're going to do that. I do think that this winning streak is going to be unique for this team. I don't think we're going to have a lot of long winning streaks. I said that on the air before because the starting pitching is mediocre. Now, I know the starting pitching has put up good numbers this season, but we all know that the best case scenario for this rotation is mediocrity. Because even when it pitches well, they don't get a lot of innings from it. So you look at Sean Manaea, he's been up and down. He's had some bad downs like the game against Kansas City and some dominant ups. Adrian Hauser has mostly been down this season. Quintana's been straightforward solid, and Severino's been awesome. Can Severino keep up the latest awesomeness that he has? That would be a huge plus to this rotation. But because of that mediocrity, I think there are going to be days like Sunday afternoon where the starting pitching just doesn't keep you in a game.